Hello, we're back again. Week 51.
Week 51.
Inside the Big Brother house. And the inmates.
Contestants. What?
And the inmates are going bonkers.
Bonkers mad, because there's only two inmates left, and that's Mark and Bruce, and they've been stuck in here together. Yeah, they had to go, mate. They had to go. They were annoying little minor celebrities, weren't they? Yeah. So, yes, we dispatched them, I think the word is, isn't it?
Dispatched them.
And there's only Bruce and Mark left in the Big Brother house. That's a difficult accent to do, isn't it?
In
can you try doing Newcastle?
Dear 51 in the Big Brother house.
It's better than I could do.
It's not. It is a tricky one, isn't it?
D51 in the Big Brother house. How's that?
That was more Yorkshire. Right, some of it was good.
I'm in the right vicinity.
It's sort of like
not...
Yorkshire if somebody from Denmark had moved to Yorkshire and been living there for a few years. Which is probably actually where that Newcastle accent came from, isn't it, maybe?
It's my John... Hang on. Don't forget, Mark, my John Noakes Yorkshire accent that I used very famously on that episode of Deal and Pasco.
Speaking of John Noakes...
What?
Speaking.
Inspector Weald, it's the phone. Inspector Weald.
You know what? If you knew which episode that was, I'd look it up because I've got Deal and Pasco on Britbox.
Have you?
Yeah. But I don't know if I want to trawl through like 15 years worth of episodes just to spot you for like.
I wish I could remember. Inspector Weald, it's the phone. The one you could look up and get a bit of Brucey on-screen action is there's a thing that came out. It's quite off the moment at the moment. There's this thing on television called The Pursuit of Love, which is written by one of the Mitford sisters. And the Mitford sisters were an interesting bunch of... It's got a posh family, and they produced like one communist, one Nazi, or a couple of Nazis, anyway. I was in this adaptation of one of their... I think of the same book. I think they renamed it Love in a Cold Climate, unless that is... another of the books that were written. Anyway, right. Love in a Cold Climate, you can get it on Netflix. And I pop up quite early on, within the first 5 minutes.
Oh, good.
There's this character turns up, and you'll probably recognise the actor. And we're part of the cool set behind him. I think we're meant to be the Bright Young Things, actually.
Long time ago then, was it?
It was. It's 2001, mate. And I was wearing moustache. I had a moustache on.
Oh, right. I'd like to see that.
Pilot. Yes, it's quite early on, 5 minutes. Anyone listening at home and get... It's going to be on BritBox. It's definitely on Netflix.
What's it called
Love
again?
Love in a Cold Climate. Love in a Cold Climate. Right. Lots of famous actors in it. Of course, I'm not famous. I didn't even have a line, to be honest, but I pop up there. And there we go.
Look that up this evening.
Yeah, it's just quite early on as well, so you didn't have to watch too much of it.
Oh, that's good, I don't want to sit through the whole thing.
Oh, dear. Nothing worse than... Oh, excuse me. So you're probably wondering why I look so relaxed and brown.
I was about to make a comment about the fact that here I am in my sweater today, and you look like you've just come from, I don't know, hanging out with George Michael in Greece or something, in your white T-shirt, brown
don't
skin.
Say that.
Well, but before he died, obviously.
Before we die, I've just literally... Do you know, I was going to pull a sickie because Mark sent through a WhatsApp saying, we're on for the same time today. We always try to record it on Monday. And I almost was tempted to pull a sickie and say, nah, busy, mate, because I was outside in this glorious weather.
I wouldn't have held it against you if you did.
No, it's bad.
It's a bank holiday, after all, isn't it?
But it's bad form. It's bad form. And I've been in the sun a lot this morning. Today, anyway, and as soon as the show's finished, I'm out there,
right?
And I'll be back there until the sun goes down.
You've got to try to set it up so that you can actually record in the hammock. I think that would
be nice,
quite good.
I'd fall asleep though, probably, because it's lovely out there, isn't it? Early 20s, which is staggering for us considering the shitty spring we've had. It's like we've got air conditioning in the hovel. So it's still, I'll start to put layers on during the show because the hovel takes about 4 weeks of sun to wait to warm
right.
up. But anyway, so So how are you?
Well, we've had the opposite. I'll just talk about the weather briefly. This weekend has been so bloody cold. Yesterday, yes, and raining. I didn't go out at all.
No,
didn't go out at all yesterday. I was in my apartment with this jumper on, with my dressing gown over the top of it.
Oh my goodness, what a turn.
Last weekend it was 91.
Yeah. It's extraordinary.
On Sunday, yesterday, it was 48.
Yeah. 48.
That's almost a half. That's strange. It is almost extremely strange.
Oh dear.
So
that is bizarre, isn't it?
Very strange. It's going to warm up again today later on and then for the rest of the week. But yeah, it's just weird. Weird weather.
So and you just want something in the middle, probably, don't you?
I'd like, I'd 70s, you know, 70s. Be nice.
Well, that's what we're approaching. We're en route to 70s this week. And it's a totally blue sky, which is just, I know we bang on about the weather, but we can, because it's our show. We can do the fuck what we like. And also, it has such extraordinary effect upon one's mood, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was having virtual panic attacks. And then a couple of weeks later, the sun comes out.
Yeah.
And I just feel so fucking chilled. It's just lovely.
Fucking chilled. So,
and just makes me think about what we were talking about last week, about what's the point, why are we bothering? Because you just get very few people listening or watching whatever we do, seemingly, apart from you, when you occasionally have a big mega hit, which everybody's looking at. I saw, actually, your mega hit has like something like 5.5 million views on Spotify, just on Spotify.
Yeah.
Streams, 5.5 million.
Too bad I'm not getting paid for any of it.
Do you not get... Hang on.
I don't get...
You must get royalties for the Spotify, don't you get...
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Spotify royalties... are shit.
Yeah, I know.
Already.
That,
but they're like 0.005 cents per play.
Yeah.
However, as I'm not putting that out, it's not me that's putting it out, my mechanical royalties are a fraction of the already tiny fraction. So I get virtually nothing for all of that. 5.5 million plays, I've probably made 23 cents from that.
Really? Are you serious?
Not 23 cents, but not virtually nothing. I mean, it's virtually nothing.
It'd be fascinating to find out what that is, though, wouldn't it?
Well, I could look through my statements and tell you. I mean, my current statement for mechanical royalties is about $2.67 for the last quarter. No, last two quarters. Yeah. So, yeah, there's no money in that, in streams at all, but from... I mean, even like the stuff that I put out on, you know, independently, the royalties from streaming are pitiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally like it's a few pence. So I'm getting like a tiny fraction of a few pence.
Well, I've earned, look it up, I got a thing through from SongTrader today saying, you've been paid. It was a very excitable email.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't get very excited because I thought it's going to be like a dollar. I can't find it now. Anyway, it's about, I think I've made cumulatively about, it's over $10 now.
Right.
Through all the platforms with my tunes. It's over $10. It's not as much as we've earned with this show, because we've earned like $17, haven't we?
Right.
This show?
Something like that. Oops.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm just looking up. I've just gone onto my site just to see. So at the moment, like my available balance for my own releases through this online distribution is £26.96. And that is for six release downloads of an album, which netted 20... This is the overall...
Yeah.
For the last like four, I think it's about 5 years, I've been on this company. Okay, so the grand total over 5 years is £318.
Yeah.
Release downloads six. So in that time, I've sold six albums.
Yeah.
Which made £23.31. Track downloads 52, £28.13. Streams 87,816. Mm-hmm. That's like 267 quid.
Yeah.
So That's over like that's, 5 years.
That's your tune. Yeah, that's your tunes that you recorded.
Yeah, that's my stuff that I've recorded.
Whereas Living Fear is actually owned by.
Yeah, so I don't
WWE, but you get a cut of that.
I get a cut of that, and it just shows, you know, most people just stream. I mean, I just stream music. I very rarely download it because you don't need to. Like, what? No. Why would you spend money downloading something to listen to on your computer? That you can just stream the same quality. It's much easier. You don't have to take up space with it.
Yeah.
You know, so the system is fucked, really. It's not the fans' fault. It's the system.
The model is fucked. Andrew Love. Andrew Love. If you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love.
Some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love. Andrew Love. Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
I've got a quote for you, which kind of leads on from last week.
Yeah.
A bit. So, anyway, I did this song, my recent song that I wrote,
yeah,
A Crueler Month, that played on Radio Oxford, BBC Radio Oxford.
Is that the third or the fourth?
Fourth song I've had played on there. They keep playing them. I'm sure they think I'm related to Steve Winwood.
they think you're Steve Winwood.
Maybe they think I'm Steve Winwood's son, and they're thinking, well, let's just, you know, he's going to be famous because his dad's famous.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they keep playing them. But anyway, thank you, BBC Radio Oxford, for playing them, which is nice because that doesn't feel so totally hopeless writing them when you think, well, they actually pop up on the show. But anyway, and I got it wrong because basically A Crueler Month, I thought was a W.H. Auden poem. Of course, it's not. It's T.S. Eliot, and it's from The Wasteland. And I was looking at The Wasteland, trying to read the poem, which is very long. Mm. And some bits are good, other bits are in German and a bit wanky. And I thought, I can't be bothered to read it all. But anyway, I like this comment by this guy called Michael Austin. I found this online. And it ties in a little bit with what we were saying last week. I'm going to read it. Here we go. In The Wasteland, nothing can be crueler than hope, since it can only lead to disappointment. It always leads to disappointment. In The Wasteland, hope hurts, and April hurts most of all by mocking us with possibilities that can never be realised. And not just in The Wasteland either. The more I have read the opening lines of Eliot's great poem, the more I have realised just what a dangerous emotion the great theological virtue of hope can be. Cynicism and irony are safe. To hope, one must open the door to disappointment, rejection and disbelief. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, heavy, huh? That's very true.
Just true, isn't it? So every time you or I or anyone else makes something, you pop it out in the world, you just open yourself up to get kicked.
Yeah.
Because we have this ridiculous expectation or hope. Hope! I have a hope! Yeah. And most of the time it's just...
Maybe that's why artists are... generally
fucked up,
quite unhappy, well, and yeah, because we're constantly setting ourselves up for rejection.
Yeah, continuous.
Maybe
falls.
More than people. I don't know. I suppose everybody gets rejected, don't they? But maybe not in the same way.
No, it's probably not because it's an active. It's like I think it's also tied in with the excitement of making something, and you get quite excited. You think, oh, this is quite a good idea, or whatever. And then you do it and you make it and then you might think, well, it's quite good, I like that, and you pop it out in the world and like nothing happens and you go, oh well. And I think it's that, if you're looking on a little kind of diagram or something, it's that little excitement peak you get, like, oh, I think that's pretty good. And the worst sort of ones are sort of like writing books, people who spent ages writing a book and then that doesn't get published, which is like, for most people who write a book, you're not going to get published.
Yes, that's a long process, isn't it?
That's a long fucking process. And you imagine that people get to the end of writing a book, they spent a long time on it, weeks and months. It just takes a long time to write a book. I know.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't get published, it's like, goodness, all that time you could have spent out in the hammock in the sun. So I thought it was quite interesting, interesting quote, that one there. And like you just said, we do set ourselves up for continuous falls. The fools that we are, F-O-O-L-S, we set ourselves up for continuous F-A-L-L-S's, don't we?
We do.
Fucking clever is that. Do you want a bit of online comedic comedy?
I'd love thing? A bit of online comedy. Comedy.
Mark's a bit sleepy today, everybody.
Oh, so, I do apologise.
We're hoping he's going to...
I've had some coffee, but it's not really done the trick.
Hasn't kicked
I'm
in yet.
Get
all
some
right,
more
well,
in a minute.
Mainline it. Mainline caffeine straight into your your proverbial artery or whatever it's
this
called.
Is
proverbial artery.
Proverbial artery. This is what happens because I generally don't sleep well. Last night, I think I would say I slept a bit better than I normally do. And usually what happens when I do sleep a bit better is I feel even more tired because it's like your body sort of relaxes more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I could just didn't want to get up today.
No. And then, of course, the weather's gone.
And it was cold in here as well, so I just didn't want to get out of the warm bed.
No. No. God. This is really weird, isn't it? It really is, because the last... I was looking at you, and you were always T-shirty and fucking... You had the AC on.
I know, yeah. Fan on and everything.
And you've got your big woolly on, and I'm on my T-shirt and my shorts. I'm not wearing pants either.
Okay.
I'll prove it to you. Hang on. Have a look.
Oh my God.
Look, no pants. I remember that reminded me. I was giggling about this earlier. I remember going into the pub at Kirtlington, and Bert was there, and there was a little gathering of the clan. Were you there? I don't know, but you might. I can't remember. I mean. But I remember going in there and it'd been a hot day and I'd been out walking and I'd removed my pants because I just got a bit hot. And I walked into the pub and I said rather proudly, I'm not wearing any pants. And it was just, and it was a classic, like everyone stopped talking, just looked at me. And I thought, why didn't I tell people I'm not wearing pants?
See, I don't find that going commando... actually cools you down. I think it has the opposite effect.
Well, no, because it's an extra layer over your goodies.
Because the underwear but the underwear sort of absorbs all the sweat. Whereas if you're not wearing, wearing any, then it just runs down your leg.
No, because if you're wearing shorts,
what'd you say?
If you're wearing, that's not sweat running down your legs, mate. That's your age. Uncontrollable something going on there. No, because if you're, I do a lot of walking, and if you're wearing, it's quite warm. If you're wearing pants, it's just something that can chafe, just get a bit hot. And of course, if you're walking, you get a bit of fresh air just getting up there, and so it keeps. And it's a natural kind of cooling system,
right?
Natural kind of AC thing going on.
I have to try that.
Try it now. Oh no, it's too cold for you now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should. Anyway, people at home, try. Give it a go. Okay, so on Facebook, I don't know. Can I just say it's not because I look on porn sites. I mean, lots of people look on porn sites. I'm not being sort of like all, you know. It's the most popular thing to look at is porn on the internet, apparently.
Mm.
But I haven't been looking.
I haven't.
I just really haven't. But anyway, so on Facebook, so I'm building up to the fact I'm on Facebook, and down the side they have adverts for stuff just pop up. There's a farm, you know, adverts everywhere now, isn't
there? Yeah.
And mine have like girls and laundry and everything like that quite often.
Yeah.
Did you get these?
No.
I think it might be they've worked out my age and they think, oh, he's a sad middle-aged fuck. He probably likes looking at younger girls and laundry. I don't know. It's kind of. But anyway, and quite often something pops up.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
It's not porn, obviously. It's Facebook, but this came up and it did catch my eye. This one, but not for the reason you're thinking of. So there's a pretty girl there, but she was just in a nice top. She wasn't like, you know, anyway. Okay. And it said underneath it, it was a question. Why do Slavic girls are perfect for European men? Why do Slavic girls are perfect for European men? That's sites.google.com. I don't know what I didn't click on it, everybody. But come on, there's, you know, you're promoting your site obviously for Slavic girls, and you're saying that you're perfect for European men, and I'm a European man, and so well done for contacting me, or trying to contact me, get me to try and press on the little link or something. And then you ruin it by saying, why do Slavic girls are perfect? I mean, it's not hard, is it? To get that sort of
where should the punctuation
sorted,
go then? Is it, should it be, why do Slavic girls? Question mark, as in, you know, why do Slavic girls?
Oh, see, why do Slavic girls?
They are perfect for European men. They just missed out.
You
the
could
day.
Do it like that. Yes, you could do that. Why do? Yes, you. That would. Or you just change the word "are" to "is." Of course. Why do Slavic girls? No.
Why
no,
do Slavic sorry. Girls is perfect for?
No.
Yeah, there you go. That's much better.
Why are Slavic girls perfect? Sorry, there's two words wrong, aren't there? Why do Slavic girls are? Why? There's two words wrong, aren't there? Lose your do. lose your do, and then you got you. It'll work.
Why? Oh, I see. Yeah. Why Slavic girls? Girls.
Oh, I see. It's still a question. Why? It's still a question.
European but men. No, it's
why
not.
Slavic girls are perfect. So it should be
a statement.
Yes.
Why Slavic
so,
girls
rather than
perfect
question.
For European men.
But if you wanted to not have the statement, just so was, you need to say, why are Slavic girls perfect for European men? Yes. So you lose the do. So you've got two options there. Sites.google.com. That's not a real place, is it? Sites.google.com. What's that?
I don't know.
It's not real, is it? I'm not sure.
I wouldn't waste time investigating that.
No. But anyway, it's silly. It's like someone's making an effort to try and link up a Slavic girl with me, and you fucked it with your bloody lazy grammar.
Well, maybe it's intentional, because then you think, oh, there must actually really be Slavic girls because of the bad grammar.
Oh, that's clever. No. You might pull that one, but I don't think they've just fucked it up.
Yeah.
Before it's sent out, you just need to get someone to give you a copy, a little bit of a check. All right.
Yeah. Surprising. It's surprising that it got past Facebook censors. Anyway, you'd have thought that would have, I don't know, rung a few bells.
Well, I say they pop up on the side. There's, I mean, they never have their BAPs out or anything like that. There's, you know, they're just wearing sort of figure hugging clothes or something like that. But figure hugging clothes, and but yes, it's kind of like I don't want them there because they're everywhere. I mean, not everywhere. Hang on a minute. They pop up everywhere, don't they? Whatever you're doing, there's always some sort of someone saying you look like you're a nice guy. I mean, have you had a lot of requests for friends requests or whatever from, you know, this
have
we've
you?
Talked about this before, yeah, kind of, and you're going, oh god, it's just no, 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 block, block, block. It's just kind of, I don't want, and it's
the one that got me this week that I was really horrified by, and I think you commented on it because I reposted that, was that advert for the virtual girlfriend, yes. AI, whatever it was.
Explain from the beginning. Just describe it to us, Mark.
So it's the company is called Replica, and the advert says, "Meet the world's it's not girlfriend. Meet the world's first AI friend," and it's a picture of this quite attractive girl with pink hair, looking quite, you know, welcoming. Mm. And the caption says, "I've been missing you. Create your own unique chatbot AI companion. Help it develop its personality. Talk about your feelings or anything that's on your mind. Just have fun and grow together." I find that really just disturbing because it's not real. Grow together.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already spending so much of our life online talking to real people, but now we're moving into the world of talking to people who aren't even real.
I'm not real.
Oh.
Well, I'm a very advanced AI.
Very advanced.
Very advanced, I am. Did you not know that? You thought you're so... You humans think you're so fucking clever, don't you? All this while, Mark has been talking to...
You're going to give me anxiety because I'm going to start thinking that maybe this is not... Maybe nothing's real. I mean, there is that theory that's quite prevalent in the science community scientists that we are living in a simulation.
Yeah, simulation theory.
And it may well be true. which is quite a horrifying thought.
Yes, so that I'm sure there'll be people signing up to that. There'll be people signing up. I mean, that is going to happen. It's going to happen in our lifetime, isn't it? People can have their little AI bots I know, it's true. It's going to happen. Because people are getting lonelier and lonelier, aren't they? Spending more and more time at home, what, staring at their screens. So, yes, it's just a natural progression that they're going to start to fall in love with their online... there's a very good Black Mirror episode, isn't there? I'm not sure if we've spoken about it before, where the person, the wife, the couple, and he's died, and is it that way around or the other way around? It's a couple. One of them's died.
Yeah.
And there's this, and they've basically ordered up the clone.
Right.
And the clone has been downloads all the memories that they've got from all the data, from all the phones and from all the internet stuff, and recreates the personality, but actually in a physical form. So it's a very good idea, but it's going to happen, isn't it? People aren't going to be allowed to die. They're going to be resurrected through their fucking data.
Yeah.
And put into this body, and it's like...
It will happen.
And people...
Yeah. There's a whole movement for that called transhumanism.
Yeah.
And I find it all... I just find it really unappealing. It's like, I don't want to be cryogenically frozen and woken up in 400 years' time. It just doesn't appeal. Why are we so obsessed with living forever? It's like, I do understand time is finite.
Mm.
And, of course, it would be nice to know you could live longer and have more time on this planet. But at the same time, I don't know. It just doesn't really make sense to me to do that, you know?
No. And also, the argument is there's a certain piquancy in having a limited lifespan.
Yeah, well, there is.
Life means something because it's limited.
Yeah, definitely more appreciate things more, and you're more driven perhaps to do things because you know the clock is ticking.
But we shouldn't really try to do things, because going back to that quote from The Wasteland, that we're just hurting ourselves, aren't we? We're perpetually bashing ourselves.
Yeah.
We should just do what just do what I've been doing in the hammock. Actually, I was slightly annoyed because I missed a bit of hammock on hammock action yesterday with Simon Hook.
Oh, good grief!
Yeah,
do you want to hear about this?
Hammock
this?
On hammock. Well, Hook, as a Hook, Mr. Hooky, and we will be answering one of his questions soon. I was out and about and I didn't get his message. He was in his own hammock and he wanted to see if we wanted to have a hammock to hammock chat. And I've never had one of those before.
Right.
Never had one.
You'll have to.
And I missed it.
Schedule him for another time.
Well, I'm hoping. When we finish here, I'm going to see if he's there to have a quick bit of hammock on hammock.
You have to do a field report from the hammock.
So talking of, regular bits of the show. Makros, I'm going to... Because we didn't have a Hester. No, we didn't. We had a Hester, but we didn't have a Hooky last week. But we got a Hester. We got a Hester and Hooky. So let's just go... Let's go straight for a Hester.
Right.
Because we're half an hour into the show. So this one's for you, Mark.
Right.
You don't know the question in advance.
I don't.
So let's just see what Mark comes up with. A couple of jesters try to stop us, you try to arrest us, but before you do, it's time for Hester's Testers. Okay, Mark, suppose you meet the girl of your dreams and take her home with you.
Okay.
It's going to get a bit saucy now. Are you ready?
Hmm.
Okay. When she takes off her clothes, right? She's like naked now. Hester didn't write that. She didn't put that bit. I added
right.
that bit. She didn't write that. When she takes off her clothes, actually, it's quite funny. Hester, you put cloths, which is funny as well, because obviously, I know it's not your. I know you're Dutch, right? But you put cloths. It just made me sweet. When she takes off her cloths. It appears that she has a life-size head of Prince Charles tattooed on her back. Right? So the question is, Mark, what do you do?
God. I guess the first thing would be to ask, what's all that? Why have you got Prince Charles on your back? Mm-hmm. And then if the answer was, oh, yeah, well, when I was younger, I was a really ardent royalist. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really embarrassed by it. And it's something I wanted to get rid of, but I couldn't afford it to do a laser removal. I'd say, oh, okay, well, that's a fair enough answer, but you're going to have to keep your shirt on.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, keep lying your back, or keep your back to the wall at all times. But if they turned out to be like, oh yeah, Prince Charles is the sexiest man alive. I love him. I love the royal family. They're brilliant. That'd be a bit weird, a bit disturbing.
Would that put you off?
Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, what tattoos? I mean, where do you draw the line on tattoos? Where you kind of go, that's just too weird. And what's an appropriate life size head of on somebody's back? What's appropriate? I mean, life size.
I don't think
life
size head of anybody. I don't think
anybody.
I don't know. I think that would be weird if it was anybody, really, a life size head, wouldn't it?
How about if it's Brigitte Bardot? I don't know, someone you fancy as well. See, then that's wrong, isn't it?
That's very wrong.
That's dreadfully wrong.
Not sure this is a conversation that I really want to.
You don't want to have
get into. Tattoos. I'm not really into tattoos generally.
No.
But I suppose, you know, well, definitely if you know, turned out that they had some kind of Nazi emblem, or something right wing, white supremacist group. That'd be a no-no.
Yeah, if it was a life-size depiction of Heinrich Himmler, that would be a no-no on every front, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
On every level. Yeah. Heinrich Himmler wouldn't matter how, on the back.
Yeah, what if they told you, like, yeah, I used to be a member of a white supremacist group, but I've turned over a new leaf, and I've kept that as a reminder to myself how bad things were back then. There's a dilemma.
Wow, that is, isn't it? God, I hope that doesn't ever happen too much.
I say the chances are fairly slim.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of tattoos. I like the little cheeky ones. Do you know what I mean? The little ones on just a little cheeky.
Yeah,
ones,
I mean,
fine.
Don't.
Little cheeky tattoo, but when they're taking over, you know, over 60% of the skin of somebody, you kind of go,
Is
that tattoo? Is just a bit? It's a little bit. Is that tattooist? Are we going to be cancelled now? I'm going to be cancelled for being tattooist.
Maybe.
Oh, shit. Do you reckon we will get cancelled? Because I think we do.
How
say
can we get cancelled? Cancelled? Who's going to cancel us?
Well, everyone gets cancelled these days. Look, I'm just going to say now, J.K. Rowling. I really like her.
Right.
I really like J.K. Rowling.
Do you?
If that doesn't get cancelled now.
What's J.K. Rowling done?
She's look it up.
Okay.
It's to do with trans and women and stuff like that. What else can we say and get cancelled? I quite like Winston Churchill, I suppose. Get cancelled for that. Not all of it.
God.
He's did some good. He was a bit, did some bad. As everyone does, pretty much, apart from you and I. We just...
Yeah, I've never done anything bad in my life.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. No. Don't even think bad thoughts, do you? Have you got anything for the show today, Mark? Seeing as I'm just giving you everything else. No songs today.
Well, I already...
What? What? What have you given me?
The world's first AI friend.
Today? Yes, you did give us AI
friend. No, come on, that's enough.
That's enough. You're right. Should we? It's time for another question. Should we go for Hook?
Hook.
Yeah.
Hook.
On the hook with Simon Hook. His
questions we do slay.
Okay, here we go. This is going out now. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Hester, big thank you to your support for the Dream Stream.
Yeah.
It was Hester's support. Explain what happened there, Mark.
Well, I did thank her by email.
Thank her officially now.
Thank you very much, Hester, for pulling some strings to get the Jesus and Mary Chain socials to promote my show. Because actually, yeah, it does seem to have made a difference. I had quite a few people listening and interacting on the chat room last Friday. I actually really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that show. It was different.
I found the chat thing a bit too busy for me, to be honest. I like it when there's
so that was actually you.
It was me, yeah. Oh, at the end.
When I said, no, it won't be Bruce, he's far too lazy to be.
I did come on at the end, and there was lots of people chatting, and I just got a bit confused. And, I like it when nobody's really listening to your show, and there's just two people on there chatting.
Well,
and then we can talk about other things apart from your show. We can talk about things we like.
Right, well, just do that anyway.
Have you watched, I gave some homework, and I bet you haven't done it. Oh, look at your face.
Remind me, because I might have done it.
Jeez, Freeze. Remind you, there's a film I said you should watch, and then we could chat about it, and you haven't done it, have you?
Well, if you remind me what it was, and I've been watching...
Army of the Dead.
Oh, that.
Oh, you that.
I started watching it last night, and then I got interrupted after about 5 minutes, and then I just never got back to it.
Well, tell you what, we can talk about the first 5 minutes, then.
I didn't realise that was homework. There was something else you said to watch as well last week that I've already forgot what that was.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't that. It was something else.
For the first 5 minutes, that was quite... So did you get to the... Well, I don't want to do spoilers. Well, we will be doing spoilers for it. So did you get to the kick-ass bit? So rather just the initial setup bit?
I literally only saw the first few minutes when they were talking and the guy was getting a blowjob in the car from his... new wife.
Oh, wow.
And I was already thinking like, oh, fucking, this is just stupid.
No, you've got to carry on, mate.
Because
it's about to explode in your face.
Because, I saw...
Sorry, that was unfortunate to say, wasn't it, in the context of what you just said?
I know, and I could see, it was one of the, I just thought instantly like, I know what's going to happen right away. They're going to crash because he's getting a blowjob and then something's going to escape from that crate. Yeah. And I just thought I don't need to see the rest of it because I've...
But you do.
Right.
Because it's done on such scale. It's done with such aplomb, I think. It's
right, I'll watch scale. The rest of it then. But then when I looked, the first thing I saw, it's 2.5 hours. It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
it's,
no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Because it's sort of like, we watched it in two halves. It's fine, isn't it? Watched on telly, just part one, part two. And I thought it was really well done. I mean, it's a fucking zombie movie, so it's like it's not going to be fucking high art. But I thought it was a really, really well done B-movie, zombie movie thing. And it's just, there's some bits in it. It's just sort of done with such panache.
That's his name, who used to be a professional wrestler. Batista.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can't act for shit. But I don't think
he's not an actor, that's why.
No, yeah. And The Rock is like The Rock, isn't it? He can't act for shit either. I mean, their faces don't move. You know, their faces just don't move.
Pretty like Botox.
He does this. Every expression is like, if he needs to express an emotion, he does this with his eyes. And I'm not making this up. This is why it's worth watching for this action. Okay, watch. He does this. He goes like this.
For those listening, who obviously can't see that Bruce is keeping a rigor mortis face and he's swiveling his eyes.
Moving my eyes
from
side to side.
That's his acting. That's his expression.
Yeah. So basically, if I'm doing this now.
Okay, right. Move your eyes from side to side again. Yeah. We get a few shots of that. We'll splice them in.
Yeah. That's when there's an emotional scene.
Right.
That's when he's talking with his daughter. And it's an emotional scene.
Right.
But there's certain bits of it done so well. I mean, really. I just thought it was. I thought it. I definitely thought it was worth watching. Go to the cinema for. I wouldn't go. I couldn't be asked to go to the cinema.
I want to go and see. And it's just come out now that cinemas here are opening up again. I'm going to go and see A Quiet Place 2.
Because
apparently, the first one I thought was brilliant, and apparently the second one is really, really good too. Have you seen the first one.
Yeah.
That was a good film. Stupid, but good enough and different enough to be really entertaining.
It was. It's always tricky, though, when you see the monster, isn't it? I liked all the stuff, the build-up, the classic Jaws thing. Where keep the monster back. Keep the monster back.
That's always the mistake they make, is showing the monster.
I don't want to see it, because then it's like, it's just a CGI thing.
Yeah.
It's a CGI, I'm not scared.
Because your imagination creates much more frightening scenarios than that. I remember.
I think it should go animatronic these days. It's just if you can have a monster, build the fucking thing as an animatronic, because then at least the brain does twig. This is 3D. This is actually made of something. But it's like, I think it was the opening bit of that Witcher TV series, and it had like this CGI spider thing he fought in the first 5 minutes. He's tussling with a bunch of pixels, and you go, I don't care.
Yeah,
there's no jeopardy at all. He's not tussling with anything. He's tussling with some pixels. He'll probably win because they're only fucking pixels. Right. They're not actually. So I think it should go down the route of bringing back the animatronic things. So at least something physical there is going on. Yeah, but no one listens, gives a shit what I think. So
I think we just went off so many tangents. I can't remember what what we were aiming for.
You were meant to do your homework. Can you watch the rest? Can you try to watch the rest of it?
Try that.
Can you,
right, please? Now, I'm so engrossed in Line of Duty that I just can't tear myself away from watching that.
Well, that's just going to disappoint you at the end anyway, so.
Don't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Did I say that? Oh, dear. It might not disappoint you at all. It becomes very... Anyway, it's quite funny, Line of Duty.
I just finished watching the fifth season. And there was a point in that where I thought it was that kind of, is this the jumping the shark moment? Where I thought...
And what was that moment? Remind me.
It was the part where this DS Arnott suddenly is doing that face he does of, oh, just noticed something I didn't notice before in that video.
Oh, the video on the wall at the end of the episode. On his, utter
wank. How the fuck did
you complete bollocks.
Notice that?
It was complete bollocks,
anyway,
wasn't it?
I decided just to kind of like, you know what, I've enjoyed all of this so far up to that point. I'm just gonna ignore the fact that is totally.
That was
stupid.
The last season before the new one's just come out. And that was for me, we spot something on the video, the end scene before, that was for me the jumping the shark. That was like, oh, fuck off. And I hate that when they've done that. You've invested in something.
Yeah.
And
well,
I do that.
I chose just
and I
to
got,
like...
You did know. You not get... I get fucking bored being in that investigative...
I don't...
Well.
I find it really gripping. And I don't know
do
why. Because I can't...
Do you?
I think...
Get bored.
I think that... I don't know. It's one of those shows that I've found really... I mean, I'm really, really on the edge of my seat the whole time. And it's got me quite anxious. And I can't say exactly why. And I think maybe because it is trying to be so grounded in the procedure that it makes it a bit more believable. That's my feeling. Because, you know, I'm used to sort of the detective things where they're all just doing whatever the hell they like all the time. And that somehow makes it less gripping.
The Kate Winslet-y one is meant to be very good. It's on Sky. Can you get that? Can you get Sky?
I think that...
Sky and Now. That's the American show.
Yeah.
It's had very good reports.
Right.
It's Mare... What's her name? Her Mare Tan... Mare... Oh, fucking hell.
Don't know, but I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard good things about that. Don't get Sky. That's not something else I'm going to subscribe to, so... No. Anyway, Hooky, here we go.
Oh yeah,
I think it was a very long build up to Mr. Hook's question. He's probably at home listening now going, are you going to ask my fucking question? Are you going to end the show? Yeah, we are now, Mr. Hook. Here we go. He starts with, Anywho, I don't know if this applies to either of you, but after 20 minutes... Oh, this is a very, very good question, by the way. I don't know if it applies to either of you, but after 20 minutes after eating asparagus, I experience a very strong smell when I urinate. Apparently everyone produces this asparagus wee, but whether or not you can smell it depends on your DNA, which you logically inherit from one of your parents. So anyway, just pause it there. So, but you know about asparagus wee, don't you?
No, I don't. I've never heard of this before.
And have you never had asparagus and smelt your own wing? Oh, that stinks.
Well, I tend to avoid asparagus as much as possible because I don't like it. I find it annoying to eat.
Right.
So
you haven't experienced that?
I haven't experienced that.
Because I certainly
and I'm not
have.
Even, you have? Okay. I was going to say, is this even true? But I suppose if you've experienced
it. Yeah, it does.
What does it smell like?
Just really strong. Just imagine a really big bit of asparagus and then lots of people weeing on it. And then letting it kind of mature over the years, and then they come back and harvest it, and they cut it down, and the fumes that come out from a wee asparagus wee tree,
right?
After 100 years of maturing, it's like that.
Nasty.
Moving on. This is very interesting. Now, thinking about Darwin's survival of the fittest. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine the evolutionary advantage of being either a smeller or the non-smeller.
Well,
so DNA-wise, you know, some of us mutations, some of us can't smell it, some of us can. So the ones who can smell, do we have an evolutionary advantage?
Maybe
or disadvantage.
Back in the mists of time, asparagus was toxic to the developing human Homo sapien or whatever. But that doesn't make sense, does it? Because there's plenty of other things.
I like it. No, yes, it was toxic. So if they ate it and then... No, so somebody ate it and then they would smell they'd smell somebody else's wee and it would smell... And I thought, whatever they ate, I don't want it because not a nice smell.
That so sort of implies that, generally speaking, people's urine smells tasty, which is not true.
No. But it's a really strong smell, asparagus wee smell. It's not like normal urine.
Right.
It is pungent.
Well, let's go and get some
asparagus. Your idea. So back. So you're standing around the old campfire, or whatever, and someone has, I need to have a wee. Has a wee, and then the people nearby go, "Oh, that smells bad." And also, that person's weed back then, they probably have a bit of a tummy problem or something, or it's just something a bit doesn't look well. And then they go, "Well, there we go. That's your body telling us that you shouldn't have asparagus because it's going to hurt you." The thing is that it falls down because asparagus doesn't hurt you.
Well,
but maybe
it did problem.
Used to hurt you.
Yeah.
Maybe it did used to hurt you.
Maybe we've developed over the millennia the ability to tolerate asparagus.
Yes. But toxicity. The smell has continued.
I don't like asparagus. I find it was one of those things that you just seem to spend about an hour chewing to try to break it down.
I think you're cooking it incorrectly. You shouldn't chew. You have to chew
asparagus.
I don't
think I've ever cooked it. Other people have cooked it.
It's really easy.
You shouldn't have to chew asparagus. What do you do? What do you mean?
You can cook it lightly. It's a light cook. And
stick it al dente. Down your throat.
What?
What do you mean you don't need to chew it?
You don't chew. Well, you do.
You just suck on it.
I just got the impression that you said you'd have to chew on it. Is that I imagine you like chewing a hard bit of beef. You don't. You just one or two bites, and it's a bite, and you've chewed.
Hmm.
You just swallow. It'll just dissolve quickly in your mouth. But served to el dente, it's nice.
Well, I have the same issue with other green cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and spinach and kale. Gosh. Those things, when they're cooked, they just seem to look like you have to chew them forever.
You haven't cooked them. I don't know what you're doing to your. I don't know how you're prepping your vegetables, mate. But you shouldn't have to chew forever. A bit of
broccoli. Well, see, spinach, when I tend to eat it just in salads because when you chew it, then it's fine. But if you cook spinach, even just for a short, you know, quick like flash, you know, wilted or whatever,
yeah,
it just becomes really chewy. I just find that sort of thing, and I don't like it.
Wow, okay. So have we answered this question? Because Simon is a stickler for answering questions.
Well, I don't know.
The question is now, thinking about Darwin's survival of the fittest, I'm trying to imagine the evolutionary advantage of being either a smeller or a non-smeller. So do we think it's an advantage that I can smell it and you're disadvantaged.
Well, it seems like it's probably an advantage. If my theory is true, which it obviously isn't,
that
would be, it would be an advantage. However, if it's not, if it's just the case that asparagus makes you wee smell, then I'd say it's a disadvantage to smell it, isn't it? Because you don't want to have stinky pee for no reason.
Do you drink? Do you have you ever? Do you ever eat anything and you think, "Well, that's
did you ever drink your own wee?" say that again. Sorry.
You can drink your own wee, can't you? That's a horrible.
Well, you can't. You can drink or eat anything, really. But
it's not. It can't be full of much goodness, can it? Wee.
Oh, why would anyone drink the stuff that your body is literally excreting?
Well, I know. That get old, rid of the, what's his face? That guy does it a lot all the time, doesn't he?
Oh God, I don't know who.
What's
Tom
his
Baker?
Name? You know, Carl. You know, he runs around islands, jungles, and things.
Dominic
He's
Cummings.
Made lots of money out of it. Not Dominic Cummings. he doesn't jump around islands, does he? That's the one thing he does not do. Cummings. Greer Flells. Yeah, it sounds like Greer Fells, two words.
Bear Grylls. Does he drink his own urine? What a disgusting
bastard. Yeah, he does. Bastard. He does that every episode. He always starts off with it. He pees into it and goes, down to the feet of his own wee and goes, now I'm going to take on a fucking mountain! And then he goes and does something really silly. And
that is revolting.
Exhausting. Every episode, have you ever watched Bear Grylls?
I haven't, and I won't now.
They should change his name to, not Beer, but Wee Grylls. Wee Grylls.
Wee Grylls. That's horrible. Are there any other things that you...
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, is that the only thing that makes your pee smell funny?
I was asking you that. It only makes my wee smell funny. I've told you the fact about
beer. If you drink quite a few beers, then your pee smells pretty strong.
I've told you about the we talked about you have those little things, little tablets in water, and they dissolve, and they've got nutrients in them. Tropical orange ones, and I first time I got those. They're supplements you just drink in the morning. And they got a proper name or something, and I got in a real panic because my wee went very orange, and I didn't put the two and two together that it had to do with this thing I was drinking that I hadn't suddenly got some, you know, suddenly my wee had gone very weird and acidic or something. Yeah, I thought I was going to die. I thought, oh, that's it. I've got orange wee.
No, really? Bye-bye.
Yeah,
surprised me.
And then it was pointed out to me that it's because of the drink. And when I didn't drink the drink, it was the usual colour. So there we go. Anyway, that's quite a lot of WeChat for today, isn't it? But that
too much,
was
really.
Mr. Hookie introduced the WeChat. So we're coming towards the end of the show now, Mark, and you've done very well considering you're so sneaky.
Yeah.
So you've got your gig coming up next week, haven't you? With the Silverels.
It's been cancelled.
Oh, fucking hell! Why is that?
I don't know exactly, but it was supposed to take place. It was actually supposed to be a fundraiser for the Save Our Stages thing, which is like, you know, keeping music venues open. So it's a real shame it's not happening. Mm. Apparently the show's been postponed because of a lawsuit.
No.
Against the place that was hosting it, which was something to do with a thing. I don't know exactly what it was, but you couldn't make it up.
It sounds a little complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's nice. But we're still going to... We rehearsed last Wednesday and it was really... Mm. I really enjoyed it. And we're going to do the same this week. We're just going to get together once a week anyway. Because I said I'd be up for doing that because it's good to have something to...
Get
at least that way we'll be ready. At least that way we'll be ready for a show.
Yeah.
When it comes up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that, but that's good. Anyway, it's good you're getting together.
Well, it's the theme of the moment, isn't it? Everything being cancelled and
yes, that is true.
Yeah.
So they tried to open up everything. Open up. I had my second jab since.
Did you? Yeah. When was that?
Dunno. They don't mean anything anymore, do they?
Right. But you didn't have any adverse reaction afterwards?
No, I felt a bit sleepy, a bit stoned, like I did last time. I mean, that probably had a little bit to do with the fact that once, as soon as I had the jab, I then jumped in the car and had a Camberwell carrot, sparked up a Camberwell carrot worth of... got really, really stoned. Yeah. And then, of course, I forgot that I had the dope, and then I thought it must be the vax that's done that.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen, by the way. But having the vax happened. That happened, I think. So, yeah, I'm very all fully good. Vaxxed. Like you and me, we're the fully vaxxed kids, which is great. So anybody who hasn't been vaxxed, get fucking vaxxed!
Yeah.
Says RSRSP. We'll see what happens. But it's lovely, the old... I'm going back to the hammock now.
Oh, I'm just going to...
You're going to get back to bed, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm going to try to wake up.
Why? What's she doing today? Why do you need to get up, wake up?
I'm going to spend the day the rest of the day with Ruby.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So I need to be a bit more on the ball.
Yeah, because otherwise you can be very boring, aren't you, to be with?
Yeah, exactly.
Just asleep. Yeah. Dad, why are you so boring?
Because I'm old, that's what I say. Because I'm an old man.
You're not old, though, are you? Well, you wait till you're old. I can't imagine... So we're not even old yet.
I don't know if I want to make it that far.
We'll see. Lovely. Thank you for listening, everybody. Mark is just wasn't going to say goodbye to you, but he was had his whole fist in his mouth trying to stifle a yawn.
Yes, I do apologise.
He's just taking it out. So anyway, don't forget to do lovely things for everybody and to watch Army of the Dead.
Right.
It's really fun. All right.
Catch you later. See you next time.
Bye.